Dear venerable sisters and brothers, Dhamma friends, today also we are going to take time for the day's talk. May you all settle down for the talk and give the consent with 3 times sadhu sadhu sadhu. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ කතමේ තයෝ ධම්මා පහතබ්බා තිස්සෝ තණ්හා කාම තණ්හා භව තණ්හා විභව තණ්හා තීති. Dear venerables, Dhamma friends, we are learning about this greediness and desire, and that being the first and foremost cause for this sansaric suffering. One has to learn it theoretically and then understand it in rationalizing or deductive knowledge or in deducing way whether to see this presentation of the Buddha is correct or wrong. When and where you get this theory understanding and internalization or inferential knowledge or deductive knowledge, you may develop kind of a attitude to try it and see. So just mere trying itself is not a simple task. It's a very mature task after 2-3 stages. So when and where are you going to put into practice? That is to understand these 3 types of greediness, the desire, and you have to sacrifice, you have to restrain, you have to control, you have to develop certain amount of responsibilities, and that is how you feel whether you are really in the practice or not. Basically, you must have moral responsibilities toward the society. So, when and where you are being introduced with these moral responsibilities, you find your rational mind is not happy with that. Rational mind is always happy to be, just be free and on the entertaining sensuous gratification and pleasure principle. So, since you have theoretical understanding and the deductive knowledge, you may realize that kind of utter pleasure principle or any sensuous gratification is not possible as far as you have to understand this craving, the greed. Kierkegaard, as the socialist, he says when the children grow up to in their adolescence, they are very happy, very playful, and they don't understand the difference between male and female. Specifically, this is true for the Muslim community. And they don't care, of course, in the village atmosphere. They go to the different places, go to the forest, go to the river, go to the playground, everywhere. They are becoming very, very playful. But when and where they attain their age and then mature, about to go to the marriage life or after the marriage life, they find it's difficult to spend lifetime for sports or play things. So therefore, they become somewhat restrained. They are not much happy, but this is what it happens. Because when and where are the children going to happen in the house, the parents can't play. They have to sacrifice. And then they have to tell the children, don't be always playful. Have certain amount of restraint life. But when they were young, it was not the case. So, you understand the difference between the children and the child, the parents, towards the playing, and the parents now they have to earn, they have to clean the house, keep with the children, go into the school, and all the kind of things, so difference starts. So, when the parents come after the age 50, they understand the life, they understand the economic life, they understand the professional life, and they, whatever they earn, whatever they gain, still suffering is there. There is no discrimination, whatever the success in your life or failure. Whether you are a male or female, utter suffering is there. So they have to understand, not only they have to give up this playful thing, they have to think about, if we are to have kind of a contentment, even this good and the bad in the world and satisfying other people itself is not enough. You have to have special attention to see what is the truth. And by the time you have become 50, 60s, your faculties are mature enough. And if you get a good guidance, now you are not looking for money. Now you are not looking for gain and fame. But try to understand what is this life, what is the meaning of the life. And that is also different from the normal householder. So likewise, within a life, within in a day-to-day life, I mean, commoner's life, there is a kind of a evolution. And Kierkegaard never mentioned about the emancipation or spiritual life, but that is it happens. And unfortunate enough, when that particular person become mature and aware of the society, he passed away. He can't pass the knowledge to the younger generation, and younger generation will not listen to that old crock, old people. And that is a great loss for the humanity. But in this understanding the tanha, we have to add yet another stage. This is the household life, this is the sensuous life. There are also which time it is maturing, but when you are going to learn sensuous pleasure, and the day you manage with the moral shame and the moral fear, restraining of your faculties, and your morality precepts, each and every time restrain. And with that, everyone cannot understand, cannot see through this karma tanha, sensuous pleasure, but some people can do. It is a great achievement. That is also not permanent one. Temporarily you can see my mind is not only free from the transgressional kind of defilements, but it is free from the obsessional. And that is under my meditation atmosphere. You have to go to a forest or sit under a tree or come to a place like this, solitude place. And then when and where you put forth your effort, your faith, your energy, your concentration, your mindfulness and the wisdom, then you can cut through and maintain your stream of consciousness without obsessional level. And unless otherwise there is a dispensation of the Buddha, you cannot understand after dealing with this obsessional kind what else you have. So when you read the Prince Siddhartha's story, before the enlightenment he went to Alarkala Mudrakaramaputra. And when you go there as an ascetic, he was very skillful. And he went up to the highest position regarding the suppression of the obsession or kind of defilement. And teachers thought that is the end. But this candidate, Buddha-to-be, he found, I am very successful. I can keep the transgressional and the obsessional defilements out. And the teacher says this is the culmination of the training. But the student told, no. I am with King Satchagavesi, King Kusalagavesi. I am still in search of the truth. I am still in search of the skillfulness. So teacher was not happy, but he left. So that is the point where he got kind of an instinct, understanding, even the obsessional kilesas, obsessional and defilements are not there. Something undercurrent, something directed dispositions, something of the perversions, but it happened in a undercurrent. So then only he started his own research. And when the yogi, present day contemporary, when he was successful in the basic concentration trainings, either to the access concentration or absorption concentration, his or her mind goes somewhat the higher level, uplifted because of the sensuous pleasure. Pleasure principle is no more, I mean not totally but fairly, and experience when and where mind is free from transgressional and obsessional defilement. And there he or she is in a completely different atmosphere now, and going to a place where less amount of gravity, feel like elation, feel like floating. And when and where such qualities happens, he or she definitely going to overestimate, telling I'm a special being, that this and that abilities and special characters appearing, So something would have happened to me permanently. So this area where the overestimation happen only with the people with the greediness or desire for existence, self-aggrandization, chasing behind the glory. I mean, this is motivation. So anyone going meditation with that motivation, whenever the meditation four signs, good signs appearing, inner chatter start, storytelling starts, and overestimation can happen. And therefore, he or she, due to this very achievement of the meditation, make it fussy, make it overestimate, and ultimately that itself become hindrance. It is called dhammuddhaccha. It is not due to the desire for the sensuous pleasure. It is not due to some other thing, but qualities that you have earned through the meditation itself. So therefore, if you are not reporting as such, when and where the things are happening, good as well as the bad, that means you are reserving something without telling to the teacher or without writing in the interviews. So ultimately you will assume, I am so and so, I achieved this and that, and ultimately your simplicity to the mindfulness, your honesty, everything will be disturbed or things will be complicated. So in our Theravada tradition itself, they have recognized 10 such upakkilesas, and they are not defilements, but if you are not properly interpreting them, if you are not properly reporting them, definitely one or the other will be a shackle for you and hindrance for you, and therefore it has been listed. The first and foremost thing listed is the light appearing in meditation. So people think light is a good sign. Of course it's a good sign. But when and where such a light, different shapes, different colors, whenever happening, if he or she is going to contemplate upon this appearing light and forget about the primary object and forget about the simplicity, forget about the mindfulness, then storytelling starts. Then inner chatter starts. Then glory, egotistic trip, self-aggrandization can happen. Because we have listened so much of things while we are living in the society, this is the kind of a good sign. Of course, it is a good sign for the person, those who are not overestimating. So, if you can report to the teacher whenever I can see disappearing part of the in-breath or out-breath, whenever I can manage to see the disappearing part of the rising and falling or whatever may be, I can see different shades. I can see different lights and the colors. So teacher would say, please make sure it will not disturb your simplicity. It will not disturb your mindfulness. It would not disturb your relationship with the primary object. And Venerable Jnanarama, in his writing, he says, when the teacher is telling, please don't take for you, let it take you for a ride. Please be aware, not to go behind the light, but to just simply be with the primary object. The yogi can think, according to Venerable Jnanarama, my teacher is very envious. He did not get the light, therefore he is not happy that I am getting light. So he don't think, what the light I am getting. So why should not I follow the light? And he will underestimate the teacher and think, I am such so and so. And he would say, other yogis, did you get light? No, you would have come to me, I would have told you this is the way to go. And then beside the teacher, they start talking each other. And everyone happy to listen to this bragging, aggrandizing yogi. Each and every meditation center, such a crack people are there. Just like a meditation master, these crack people also, they are advertising all the time, I got this and that, I got this time, this meditation, that meditation, like. So ultimately, the newcomers, they find more happy to be chat with that kind of a people than the profound teaching. So that is why, first thing is obhasa. Obhasa means kind of a light perception. And then jnana, you develop such a sharpness in your mind, because mind is fully working now. The whole circuit is going to work. No blockages. And neurobics, You understand that if the whole brain is working, what this whole trivial thing we are doing from morning to evening? Morning to evening, we are trying to be specialized. As far as you become specialized, you lose common sense. Present day, most uncommon thing on the earth is the common sense. Because everyone is a specialist. Everyone is trying to be the subject matter specialist, but they don't know ABC. They don't know the common sense. So if someone has to teach such a person how to eat, how to wash, how to do this and that. So you see, whenever you go to a place or play, you know, there's a familiarization program. You see, this you should do. So that kind of so much of things, because people are not with common sense. So bringing them to the common sense has become the most difficult part on the earth. And very appropriate, there's a joke. A king had 7 daughters, each and everyone is very attractive. So one day he called a close by prince, I am going to give a supermarket, you can select whatever you like. This is called Swayamvara. And that day all the daughters, one was very specific in the indoor arrangement, other one is very specific in the horticulture, outdoor arrangement, other one is for the garments, other one is for the cooking, other one is for the accepting of guests, other one is dancing and all the kind of very specific. When the king, queen, prince is coming, Garland was so happy, so beautiful that daughter went and told that I am the person who took care about the garden, you see. And then whenever he entered into the palace, the other girl went and there, you see the interior arrangement, I am the person. And when he is going to the dining table, the other person, you can see the smell, you can see the taste, you see, I am the person who cooked it. The other person is ushering the king, the queen and, the prince, and she is doing so nicely. The other one came with the full nice dressing and told, you see, I prepared this color garment and am I beautiful? So the youngest daughter, no any skill. So prince went there and asked, your elder sister showed this and that and this and that. Do you have anything to show? No, my skill is to live with them. Very difficult for this kind of people. How to live with them? They are always aggrandizing. So prince married the youngest. So whenever you go to an institute, whenever you go to a government place or private place, you can see people in the show off. So how to be develop the common sense? Very difficult. So in the meditation, whenever the obsessional and transgressional kind defilements are go there, your brain uplifted. It develops so much of knowledge, it's not specialized. Whole range. So there you feel it is something extraordinary. So therefore you think something change happened. I'd have go becoming arahant. Or it would have been some first jhana, or maybe extrasensory perception, abhinya. So he or she is brooding upon that. So usually never report as usual. So teachers, when you are doing interviews, must be skillful to let that disciple to write as it is and to see their own interpretation. Hardly any person can make a fair value judgment, but usually they are aggrandizing. So it is natural. So therefore it is called as obasa jnana. And then the PT, that means the rapture. When he is sitting, the day you understand renunciation and coming and living here is a kind of adventurous thing. Of course, no much of facilities, but you start feeling happy. Happy out of nothing. And when and where you sit comfortably, the climate is conducive, you feel comfortably you are sitting. And it is ever increasing, not depending upon outside. So you find something immaterial kind of a pleasure. At home, you are trying your best, still the combination is not there. When you come here, sometimes, without much of materialistic luxurious and consumerization, there's a kind of a rapture rising. And that is also arising in a very small, tiny way, as if the prickling sensation, and sometimes crawling animals, sometimes the water drops are falling like, sometimes lightness in part or partial of your body. And whenever it happens, if you know to maintain mindfulness, they ultimately become overwhelming, rapture. happens. So when that happens also, you sometimes learn the art, how to facilitate this small tiny rupture, and ultimately become it's overwhelming. So you feel like you get a skill. You feel like you attain something, gain something. So therefore, the PT also, many yogis are waiting to happen. Each and everyone got it, misinterpreted, overestimated. And then Pasaddi, we have the healing effect. Sometimes at the beginning, you feel feverish in sitting. And when that way, the meditation or mindfulness was intact, when you get up, you feel you are healed without much of medicine. Or you have some kind of a mental anxiety or kind of thing, it heals. So Pasaddi, when it happens, you feel just by being, I can get the physical and mental health. So when it happens also, maybe there's a chance for someone to overestimate thinking that I am extraordinary. And Sukha is called Vyari, whatever the position, whatever the sitting, standing posture, you feel like a cat, very relaxed. You can display in such a way, without much disturbing you, you know how to keep the body. So there you find with least amount of furniture, wherever you sit, even under a tree, you feel pleasure. Whenever you listen to the bird sounds, without much stereo, Dolby music, very nice. Sit near a brook, music is very nice. And everything is very green. Everything is lively. And there you feel this kind of a pleasure. And ultimately, you estimate, you think that something special, other people can't observe it. But I can. One day, one lady told another neighbor, I see a beautiful tree, very green. And the lady asked the neighbor, where? Just the tree in front of my house. After meditation, that tree is completely different. It's very beautiful. So neighbor has to tell, she is either enlightened or mad. Both possible. Both possible because it happens. It is not untruth, but overestimation. And you think it will be ever persist with me because I am a meditator, because I am restrained, because I am successful in gaining the concentration. Therefore, overestimation of this pleasure can happen. Sukha. And then Adhimokkha, you can have a foresight so sure, definitely you can predict now I can sit for 30-40 minutes, no distraction can happen. I can definitely keep it with primary object. Not like earlier, I can walk up to the furthest end, come back, again, come back, like you can predict. And kind of a foresight happens. And it is true. So when that happens, you think I am special person, I get special abilities because of the alignment of your faculties, your energy transmission is very powerful. When it happens, you attribute it to as it is my achievement, my ego is so and so, other people are failure, I am the person. So self-aggrandization, and you start bragging in the innocent light. But the thing is simply, you will not be mindful. You will not be going back to the primary object. Instead, you will be thinking about your predictability, Adhimokkha, and Paggaha, without much of the effort. In the day-to-day activities also, you feel mindful. In walking also, easily you feel without effort. Body is walking, you can just see, look at yourself. Mindfulness is intact. Even when you go to the normal way, sometimes in a strange places, you become mindful. Not much without, because of the momentum, it can happen. Soon you overestimate it, mindfulness will drop. And your overestimation will drop. And even your restraint may be dropped. So therefore, whenever it happens, you have to understand, this can happen. But don't let it take you for a ride. Don't start questioning. Don't start storytelling. Don't start making glass mentions out of this kind of thing. And then Upekkha. Upekkha means kind of a forbearance. You develop kind of a maturity and you can just look at it. You can stop thinking. You can stop seeing at seeing. You can stop listening at listening. you can stop other tasting, touching kind of thing without much of, regurgitation, not chewing the cud. Just leave it aside. Otherwise, you always think about what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you have feel, what you think, and everything. But instead, the upekkha can happen, thing happen, finished. So, you have sometimes attribute it to yourself, and it is my personal gain. I earned it, egotistic trip. And energy, full of energy. You feel overnight you can stay. Even you are in a lying down position, mind is awake. Morning, you don't feel tired. And you feel other people are sleeping while sitting. They are sleepy while walking. And you feel look down them, telling that I am not so. I am always with this kind of energy light. But it is not permanent. It can happen, not permanent. And Nikanti is a kind of an attraction to these kind of qualities. It is a unanimous quality in the meditation world. People are talking these trivial things as superhuman characters. They think it is my own gain. It's a special message for me. And then they are making story. That is called half-boiled yams. Anyone eating it get the stomach ache. But they have not gone to the fire end and they can't stop storytelling here. Ultimately, what happens, your meditation stops. Mindfulness gets complicated. You lose the primary object. Therefore, these 10 fetters, they are called upakilesa. They are by itself is not defilement. But if you are going to overestimate it, you suffer. Well, very recently, I was studying further about that, and lucky enough, I got a Mahayana Sutta, Surangama Sutta, and there you can 50 that kind of thing. 10-4 people got mixed up with the materiality, 10-4 people got mixed up with feelings, 10 this kind of a distraction and complication for the people mixed up with the perception, 10 for the volition, and 10 for the consciousness. Out of that most beautiful or most dangerous part is the mixing up in the perception. This is the mystic world of the meditation people. And each and everyone is discussed. So I was keep on studying and found that cannot be just mental imagination or calculation. Someone would have written with pragmatic understanding. Next time I went to the USA, I met Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhiyan and told Bhante, this is not Mahayana, sorry, Theravada, you are living in the Mahayana monastery. Did you read this book? Did you read this 50 demons on the way? He told, I have read, which interpretation you read? I told, this is what the free distribution, no, you better read, I will send you a library copy. Very well explained, but the meditators never heard about it. Therefore, whenever such a signal happened, they start storytelling, fabricating, chatting with each other. Ultimately, they become jokers and they lose the track. They cannot sit in a single place for longer time. They can't look at the object for longer time. They can't be simple, honest. But we can't find a fault with that particular person. They think my experience is extraordinary. They can either go to the furthest end of the self-indulgence or mortification. Or they can kill themselves. Or they can kill others. Anything can happen. Because the nervous system is now stimulated. And it is catalyzed. Everything is, every nervous cell is working now. So therefore you must have the utter faith, utter mindfulness and utter precepts, morality. Then you are fairly safe. Then either you will go to the teacher and say this thing happened. If you are not believing, if you don't have enough faith, you will entertain doubts. So much so you go to a further traps. Or if you do not have enough precepts, you will attribute that to a lack of precepts. And if you are not mindful, you will think you get an extraordinary character or extrasensory perception or this and that. So how to save? How to be on the safe side? Underestimation. Venerable Jnanarama says this can happen. Not all the 10 happen for each and everyone. one person will hit with one or the other. So have a theory, understand it. Whenever it happens, you definitely indulge. And halfway through, you must tell someone, I am getting this one, and how to get rid of it. And that is the point where the association with the teacher, or interviews, or proper reporting system is important. Communication. Simple communication. So whenever this happens, you can understand if you are not interpreting properly, your achievement will be the hindrance for you. It become a shackle. Lucky enough, they have been, this, all these things are recorded and well mapped. Therefore, you have to report in a proper way and be simple. Don't try to overestimate it. And simplicity and honesty. Therefore, it become a bottleneck for the next progress, the next stage. Whenever you go through it, it is only once in your life you have to do it, not repetitively. There you understand the perverted nature, cheating nature. And face value is completely different when you put into practice again and again. When the fracture happens or light happens, let it happen again and again under the light. Try to keep the object, primary object, as long as possible. Don't think about the light and leave the primary object. So that is the point, you missed the bus. So there may be some special knowledges, there may be some fracture, there may be some pleasure. Everything happened, take it. The main advantage to be in the mindfulness, simple mindfulness, as long as possible. Then you are very skillful. Otherwise, if you have short objectives other than Nibbana, definitely you will be trapped. So therefore, it is a kind of acid test. So those who are going with the teachers, safer, but you can't give 100% guarantee. So Mahasi Sayado, Jnana Rama, in their books, they have allocated chapters. Please be aware, one or the other may can happen. Whenever you go through it, not completely, then again imagine the next day again you are looking at the object and you can see the beginning, the middle and the end of the object. Whenever it happens, now you are not looking like first time it has happened and these kind of perversion can, it is possible, so you are immunized, you go prepared. Whatever thing happens, you definitely indulge to a certain extent. You'll be carried away for a certain extent. And again, you know how to come back to the at-home situation. How to come back to your norm. That is what you call the resilience. Even the meditative experience itself will dislodge you, make you eccentric. And you, the day you learn the art of coming back to your home without the second person instructions, till that you have to share your experience with the teacher, or simply say you can't meditate by alone. You have to have someone. But there may be, after a certain amount of immunity, you can practice. Of course, you can get trapped into, but you can understand your own way home back. So this is the personality. This is the resilience. So can we teach this to the children at school? During our time, it was not there. We have been taught how to get carried away by geography, physics, history. Everything is nothing but eccentric. You never come to the center. Everything is extrovert. This is centripetal power, no centrifugal power. The Buddha is telling you can go out as well as you can come in. Whenever jerk happen, whenever shock happen, whenever abnormal happen, how to come back to your at-home situation. For that you must have a love for your body. You must have the appreciation for your posture. And you must understand why you should have a pivotal point. Benchmark. Primary object. Primary object is whenever mind goes up, out, you know shorter or quickly or short, after a long time, how to way back home. So coming back from this distracted position to the home is exactly a default in our mind. It is called interoception, prosperoception. That means our mind is having a default system always to check our posture. While eating, check with the posture is natural or not. So this proprioception is nothing specific to you. In mindfulness, you keep it open. And the interoception, when you ever feel hunger, whenever you feel like going to the toilet, but whenever you feel like some basic call of the nature, mind has kind of cross-checked. Whenever you are standing on ceremonies, we suppress it. We never go to the toilet as you like, when it is necessary, because you have to finish the task. So this is the torturing system in the present civilization. This is the torturing system in this mechanization. One person told me he was in Canada, he's a Sri Lankan person, he is the manager of the hotel, and he found the receptionist, she was not so efficient, so he used to go to the reception desk as when and where the visitors are coming, so definitely he can do a better deed. And often the due receptionist was not there, and he has to do the manager's office task as well as the receptionist desk. After a while, he developed kind of a difficulty, no sleepiness, mind is utterly tiring, and there is nothing wrong in the medical report. And then only the doctor keep on questioning us, there may be some block in your urination and block in your defecation. And then only he told, of course, I have to keep them tight because if the visitor is coming, I can't go to the toilet, I am waiting till the visitor is finished. And immediately another visitor comes. So I am keeping my pump tight too low. And I am not going to the toilet. And he says, this is the disease. Now your chemical body completely gone out. No medicine can do. So you are not giving a chance for interoception. Even the message comes, please have a cup of water. Please go to the toilet. You never go because your fame, gain, money and everything is too much. So that you will give a new fresh chance, if you are looking at, whenever mind is eccentric, understanding that mind is eccentric is the most important thing. So if you ask, today also there were some interview reports telling whenever the mind is distracted, whenever the pain is there, this and that is, they consider it as a disturbance for the meditation. But it is not a disturbance of meditation. It is due to your mindfulness. You know the leg is pain. If you are looking at the television or other kind of thing, body pain, you never feel. Because you are in a teledrama. When and where you come to the meditation, only you feel it. And he says, I can't meditate because of leg pain. I can't meditate because of the sound. At home, how many sounds you are making? You don't have any care. But whenever here you comes, your sensitivity increases. Even tiny sounds can disturb you. So how often you can attribute it to your efficiency of your mindfulness rather than a distraction for the mind. That kind of a radical reflection can happen if you appreciate understanding my understanding when I am at the mindful point, when I am at the primary object is good. But understanding I am not at the primary object is better. It's more skillful. This is the change. This is the change in your attitude. This is the change in your liking and disliking. This is the change in your personality. Are you ready? So it is very easily you can see in your interview report. If you are very with the sour taste and bitter words, if you are going to say this trouble, this sound, this thought, this pain, that means you are with the hate base. The day you can understand, our mind is very sharp. Whenever it is going, not only it is telling, going, it says, I got this distraction, that distraction. The day you put into the positive, the Buddha called it as sarati. Sarati means, I know I am not in the primary object, but I know I am in a sub. And he clearly then say vivarati, clearly understand I am not come here to listen sound, but the mind is jumping without my consultation by its own agenda. So mind, he himself is revealing into himself or herself, my mind is now in a sound. I am supposed to be in the breath, for example. And then uttani karoti, he or she understand what is the blocking thing for me to come back to the primary object. Nothing. If you know I am in the wrong place, if you know it is not I am regretting about, I am not hiding it, and you can come back. Even then the Buddha says, even if you come back, you won't get benefits unless otherwise you report to someone. Reporting is the place you get the full marks. You have to tell this is a distraction. While distraction without any disappointment, self-criticism, I knew it was a sound. And I checked to come back way completely free. There's nothing blocking. And the day you report, I come back. When I come back again, the breath was exactly like before going. And that means all the defilements, if at all, supposed to arise, everything is nullified. Everything becomes null and void. This is the first time on your life you understand how to make defilements null and void. It's a great achievement. I would say it's a human right. But no one, they always find fault with distraction and they are talking and reporting with hatred. So much so, you are accumulating unwanted defilements. Unarisen defilement arise. But if you know not to allow complaint arise or displeasure arise, not to get upset but to understand, no, I am eccentric but I know. That is the point where you sympathize yourself. Not a single person on the earth happy to sympathize oneself. They are very, very disciplinarians. Whenever something goes wrong, they are self-critical. That is what I call the anxiety. And that is what the inferiority. Whatever the luxury you have, whatever the fame, gain, post and the degree you have, you are utterly in the inferiority. Because no sympathizing. You don't know that art. The day you sympathize yourself, you can sympathize other people. Definitely you can sympathize other criminals. Otherwise you think, no, no, criminals must be killed. They must be given the capital punishment. Because otherwise we can't clean the society. But when you become a culprit, you are very, completely different kind of judgment. But when you are practicing, oh, this is vipassana, mind is going out. Whenever it is going out, knowing that mind is not at home, that itself without regret is a great achievement that you can't do it for your child or the parents or the friend or nothing. You have to take care about it. That's a prime task. It's a critical place to look at the social living, to look at the incoming objects with respect to your already developed mindfulness, already developed primary object. So this is a specific use of the primary object. When and where our mind goes, you use the primary object as the pivotal point and bring it back without much repercussion, without much judgmental about the distraction. So you become utterly constructive, up to the point, next day you will be distracted, you will never come back home, while in the distraction you will be happy. You know, you can come back, no problem. So not necessarily you have to come and reiterate telling that I can come back. No, you can come back. So you can be at the danger. You can be at the eccentric place. You can be at the defiled place, no problem. So that is why the Buddha says, if you have no wounds in your hand, you can tackle poison. If you have wounds, don't tackle. The day you understand you are immunized, you can go to epidemic diseases. If you do not have immunized or vaccine, be careful. So meditation is, you put, vaccine means some kind of a germ. It's a half-killed germ. So you put germs into a stream of consciousness and see if the mindfulness is there, germs never inflict diseases. This is the secret we lost due to the health system. Health system says, no, 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 you have to take vitamin, you have to take that. Germ killer, this germ killer, series of vaccines and kind of thing. Ultimately, you are dead because of the iatrogenic effect. Due to the medicine, no one can understand what the root cause. But here you understand the root cause and your immunity. Dr. Hagade from the Manipal University says, ask the foreigner to come and have a cup of water in our Indian glass. You will get hepatitis. We people drink water, we don't get hepatitis. Because we are immunized, we are born with diseases. We are living with germs. So they have to boil it and they have to disinfect and everything. So therefore they can't drink water from the tap or from the cup of Indian cup. Because your immunity level is so slow. So likewise in the spiritual immunity, when you are dealing with defilements and fully armed with the mindfulness and armed with your primary object, armed with your faith and armed with your morality, you feel like experimenting. You feel like become adventurous. And Buddha has given so much of chances, you can do experiment, then only your mindfulness become diversified, hardened, and you feel versatile. Of course, at the beginning it is not so. It is not spread enough, not flowering, not fruity. So when it happens, you can see the object as well as the secondary object or any distracting object without much fear, because you have tools. So when such a thing happens, you can go prepared, of course you are going prepared, to see object is ever changing. And if you are looking with that kind of a perspective, it is not limited to your primary object. It is not limited to the secondary object. It is not limited to the object you have seen. You find it is true to the primary object, it is true to the secondary object, it is true to the matter, it is true to the immaterial, it is true to the rest of the world. So this is called anicca anupassana. You are looking at the object in order to see impermanent nature, not to see the object as permanent, auspicious, superb, and my soul like. So when and where object is changing, you will be so happy, because that is the way you can understand. It's the first thing the Buddha taught. Everything is changing. So when is the time you go prepared for that kind of a observation? If you are going with the permanent notion, you will see permanent. If you go with the impermanent notion, you will see impermanent. But wherever you go, there you are. What you see, that you are. So when is this change going to happen? That is called ayonisomanasikara change into yonisomanasikara. Ayonisomanasikara is a wrong way of reflection. Yonisomanasikara means radical way of reflection. You are looking something not to fix it, but to see change. So even if it is changing, you develop a kind of a immunity. Yes, yes. This is what I just wanted to prove. Now I am proving. It is like a disproving a null hypothesis or looking at from the changing viewpoint. It's a very nice example given by the commentators. It says if a monk is about to buy a bowl, alms bowl, and a merchant coming, merchant going on the street and he says, hey, please come, I wish to have a bowl. And then the monk select one. He says the shape and the color, everything is okay. And then while compromising the price, I clearly look into the welding lines and he find a small hole in the welding. And then he says that you think this shape is okay, size is okay, but there is a hole. And then you have to, you know, the merchant has to compromise. And then he is bound to see the second hole. Beforehand, he had a desire for the bowl. When he was the first hole, desire reduces. When he find the second hole, still the desire reduces. And when he find the third hole, suppose, what will happen to the value of the bowl? And the commentator is asking, what is his approach to the holes? Does he hate holes? Is it a good thing, seeing the hole or not? If you have not paid yet, it's a good thing. If you paid and bill is written, it's a bad thing. So before purchase, see. If all the married people are to do it, I doubt anyone will marry. They are rushing without looking at the disadvantages. So we wanted to catch the thing. Ultimately, one day time, one hole, second day, third, second hole, and third, by the time, it's already married, only divorce. But here it says, what is your approach to the holes you are looking? Is it a bad thing to see the holes in the purchase, the bowl that you are yet to buy? No, that is your skill. So likewise, each and every phenomena is impermanent. So far we try to camouflage it. We wanted to make it everything permanent. Now you are looking at the phenomena, not to take you for a ride, but to see where can I see the impermanent nature. Moment you see impermanent nature, it appear like torturing, it appear like burning, it appear like complicated. So you have no reservation. My soul, my loved one, my impermanent thing and permanent thing, everything out of this very object that you are observing, is inferential knowledge says anything impermanent is suffering. And instead of looking at the nature of the object, you hate impermanence, you hate suffering, then you cannot go to Nibbana. You have to appreciate impermanence, you have to appreciate suffering, because they are the reality, just like the holes in the bowl. But in the present day, can someone be convinced to see the changing nature of the object? They will never appreciate even if it is happening. But the changing nature is, it's a universal law. But it's not the particular object that you are looking at, everything. So therefore, the day the yogi going to see, the breath is not to be proud about, but the breath is to understand it's a changing nature. The moment you see changing nature, you feel bored. You feel monotonous. You feel suffering. You feel burning. You feel torturing. So what you do is, you change the object, or change the teacher, or change the meditation set. This is what happened in the present day meditation. The day you go prepare, you are a completely different person. That's what you see is completely different. And the day you are going to be prepared for the suffering nature, wherever you see, whatever you confronted with, you see the signature is there. The suffering nature is there. But does our mind going to appreciate it? Mind is always telling, don't look at this way. You have to see everything in the aesthetic way and a colorful way. So everyone will come and do the same. Just like the seven sisters, early sisters, they come and decorate everything. The youngest sister find very difficult to live with them. They are very, very aggrandizing. The day you going to, there you may find, if you are to look at it from that point of view, even at the age of seven, you can observe it much easier than elderly people, because no much of complication. And parents think, no, it is too early for the children to understand the impermanent and suffering nature. And if it is so, they will not educate, and they will not marry, and they will not have children, and they will not write books, and they will not put up pandals in the Vesakku Poyalavasa, and so much of problem. They keep away from all the kind of, that is what Prince Suddhodana did for the Prince Siddhartha. Don't allow to go outside, because they will see old age people. Or see some sick people, or the dead people. So if it is so, he will renounce. But the very first day he saw, he renounced. Not that that is the first sick person. There are a lot of sick people. But the moment he sees, he get the click. Like as Pandita Sayadaw says, the anicchata, the impermanent nature, it's a universal thing, but everything will not click you. There may be some significant event whereby you will understand, yes, this is what the Buddha mentioned. This is what the Siddh mean by changing nature. So your way of click, your way of, it is called a blink, is different. So you have to look at the objects. One day, whenever your wisdom is mature, whenever your experience is enough, you find, this is what the Siddh mean by changing nature. And that's the time you are mature enough. And then you have two options. You can avoid it or look the object again and again to see the impermanent nature of the object. That is what you call anicca-anupassana. Look at the object, same object or any object, to see impermanent nature. Then you see no one can hide it. It's so obvious. But before, due to the gloss over and camouflage and makeup and pharmaceutical everything is covered. But the moment you know how to see through the impermanent nature, it's a very common thing. But how much our culture, how much our way of life, fixing things, not to change, and whole way of going for patent, put your photo in your identity card, and your bank, your signature, everything must be fixed. If it is changing, you will find difficult to draw money from the bank. Everything must be fixed. So whole civilization is just a fixation. Going against the impermanent nature. There are some languages on the earth, they are negative. Some languages are positive. So people are very happy to learn positive languages. But the negative languages, very profound, very philosophic, they find difficult to learn because they don't like impermanence. And one person, he interpreted the Jesus Christ, got immature death because he tried to put the negative message into a positive language so people misunderstand. But the Buddha put it in the negative language. Pali is a negative language. You can easily explain these things. So people consider Pali as dead language. No one learning. Because it is not aggrandizing yourself. It is not giving the boost to yourself. But the positive languages like English, very fast. Everyone happy. Then they do puja, Bodhi puja to learn English. That way they are using Buddhism now. Go for Bodhi puja to learn English and go to England and go to foreign countries. Because they find it is like a heaven on the earth. So why not? So exactly you can see our inner negativity is born with. But seeing the impermanence as impermanence is a really mature thing. But even it click into you, you must have kind of a repetitive application of your mind to see the changing nature. Then you can see whatever you learn is against you. Whatever you earn is against you. Whatever you assume, against you. Whatever you decided, against you. Because all indicate permanent. So don't be decisive. Don't assume things. Just observe again and again. That is to increase the amount of observation and reduce the number of decisions. Increase observation, reduce inferences. Then you are beginner, or ready to be beginner. So this is the way the anicchata, you can put into anicchanupassana, and it is not negative. But Mahasi had to make a special note, before you develop meditation and before you develop mindfulness, if you are going to note anicchang, 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 it won't make much difference because it is an artificial thing. The maturity has to come and then only you have to introduce this. This is not what happened. Specifically in Sri Lanka, they are whenever they eye is anicchang, 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 visual object is anicchang, 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 the consciousness is anicchang, 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 then says, okay, I am through with all the five hindrances, the padana, why not I am becoming enlightened? I see anicchang, 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 no enlightenment. One day Venerable Anuruddha is going and tell Venerable Sariputta, Bhante, I have such a bright light and I can see the past life and everything. I am fully energized day and night and I have all the extrasensory perception. Still, I am not enlightened. Why? When Venerable Sariputta says, it is not energy, it is your anxiety. It is not your abhinya, but it is your overestimation. These are defilements. They are not qualities. The day, next day, Venerable Anuruddha go and sit from this correct perspective, you become enlightened. So the interpretation, the way you take it, it's already born with. You are born with that. Not that it is hard-wired circuit. It's plasticity. So you must have openness. You must have simplicity. You must have innocence. Because meditation gives so much of new options, chances. Each time if you are adamant, if you are with the blinkers and with the kind of a stereotype mind, Nibbana cannot come into you. Because you are not flexible. And that cannot happen by only by meditation. That is your attitude. Whether it is happening by meditation or not, no one can explain. No one can predict. It is something electric. So while keeping that open, keep on meditating. Let the same thing happen 1001 times, whether good or bad, till the message cross. Even then, you have to galvanize it. You have to reiterate it. Practice again and again. This is how, whenever the insight knowledge has happened, how you put into your day-to-day life, how you put into the outside meditation, and then only the galvanizing happens. So, being today is the 7th, 8th day, I hope before going back home, you better to galvanize what you have earned. That means develop common sense. Simply put, just develop common sense. Don't assume that I am a serious meditator. I achieve this and that. So that is the only blockage for you, for the self-aggrandization. is to be simple, reinvest your knowledge towards the impermanence, suffering, and the non-governable nature. Hope today talk also helpful for you to make use your own experience rather than expecting other super beings to come and save you. Thank you very much for listening.